CD 9.
Adam pedalled steadily along the road, Dog running along behind and occasionally trying to bite his back tyre out of sheer excitement. There was a clacking noise and Pepper swung out of her drive. You could always tell Pepper's bike. She thought it was improved by a piece of cardboard cunningly held against the wheel by a clothes peg. Cats had learned to take evasive action when she was 2 streets away. "I reckon we can cut along Drover's Lane and then up through Roundhead Woods," said Pepper. "It's all muddy," said Adam. "That's right," said Pepper nervously. "It gets all muddy up there. We ought to go along by the chalk pit. It's always dry because of the chalk, and then up by the sewage farm." Brian and Wensleydale pulled in behind them. Wensleydale's bicycle was black and shiny and sensible. Brian's might have been white once, but its colour was lost beneath a thick layer of mud. "It's stupid calling it a military base," said Pepper. "I went up there when they had their open day, and they had no guns or missiles or anything, just knobs and dials and brass bands playing." "Yes," said Adam. "Not much military about knobs and dials," said Pepper. "I don't know, really," said Adam. "It's amazing what you can do with knobs and dials." "I got a kit for Christmas," Wensleydale volunteered. "All electrical bits. There were a few knobs and dials in it. You could make a radio or a thing that goes beep." "I don't know," said Adam thoughtfully. "I'm thinking more of certain people patching into the worldwide military communications network and telling all the computers and stuff to start fighting."
"Cool," said Brian. "That'd be wicked."
"Sort of," said Adam. It is a high and lonely destiny to be chairman of the Lower Tadfield Residents Association. R.P. Tyler, short, well-fed, satisfied, stomped down a country lane, accompanied by his wife's miniature poodle, Shotzi. R.P. Tyler knew the difference between right and wrong. There were no moral greys of any kind in his life. He was not, however, satisfied simply with being vouchsafed the difference between right and wrong. He felt it his bounden duty to tell the world. Not for R.P. Tyler the soapbox, the polemic verse, the broadsheet. R.P. Tyler's chosen forum was the letter column of the Tadfield Advertiser. If a neighbour's tree was inconsiderate enough to shed leaves into R.P. Tyler's garden, R.P. Tyler would first carefully sweep them all up, place them in boxes, and leave the boxes outside his neighbour's front door with a stern note. Then he would write a letter to the Tadfield Advertiser. If he cited teenagers sitting on the village green, their portable cassette players playing, and they were enjoying themselves, he would take it upon himself to point out to them the error of their ways. And after he had fled their jeering, he would write to the Tadfield Advertiser on the decline of morality and the youth of today. Since his retirement last year, the letters had increased to the point when not even the Tadfield Advertiser was able to print all of them. Indeed, the letter R.P. Tyler had completed before setting out on his evening walk had begun, "Sirs, I note with distress that the newspapers of today no longer feel obligated to their public, we the people who pay your wages." He surveyed the fallen branches that littered the narrow country road. "I don't suppose," he pondered, "they think of the cleaning up bill when they send us these storms. Parish council has to foot the bill to clean it up, and we, the taxpayers, pay their wages." The "they" in this thought were the weather forecasters on Radio 4. He did not have a television. Or, as his wife put it, "Ronald wouldn't have one of those things in the house, would you, Ronald?" And he always agreed, although secretly he would have liked to have seen some of the smut and filth and violence that the National Viewers and Listeners Association complained of. Not because he wanted to see it, of course, just because he wanted to know what other people should be protected from. The "they" in his thought were the weather forecasters on Radio 4, whom R.P. Tyler blamed for the weather. Shotzi stopped by a roadside beech tree to cock its leg. R.P. Tyler looked away, embarrassed. It might be that the sole purpose of his evening constitutional was to allow the dog to relieve itself, but he was dashed if he'd admit that to himself. He stared up at the storm clouds. They were banked up high in towering piles of smudged grey and black. It wasn't just the flickering tongues of lightning that forked through them like the opening sequence of a Frankenstein movie. It was the way they stopped when they reached the borders of Lower Tadfield. And in their centre was a circular patch of daylight, but the light had a stretched, yellow quality to it, like a forced smile. It was so quiet. There was a low roaring. Down the narrow lane came 4 motorbikes. They shot past him and turned the corner, disturbing a cock pheasant who whirred across the lane in a nervous arc of russet and green. "Vandals!" called R.P. Tyler after them. The countryside wasn't made for people like them. It was made for people like him. He jerked Shotzi's lead, and they marched along.